a little on a, I believe, a very important subject. And that's the idea of shepherd. Let's read, first of all, in the New Testament, Luke 2, verse 8. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 8. Luke 2, verse 8. And they were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine, or this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, be a man of war from the youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant hath his father's sheep. Look in a line, there, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered him out of his mouth. When he rose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. But thy servant shall go a line, and there. And this answer comes that Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the army of God. Now, Genesis 3. Verse 13. And he said unto them, that is, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and birds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them, one day all the flock will die. Now I find reading in Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel chapter 34. And you shall read from verse 11. As the shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their food be. Verse 15. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down. The Lord will. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. I will destroy the pattern of them, and I will feed them with judgment. Now, this is all that we shall be if there is time before that. Section, because it is a rather lengthy subject. Now, brethren, the subject of shepherding, I think, is a very important one. If there is scriptural, pastoral, oriented shepherding among his own, we will maintain numerically the numbers among them. Not only will you maintain the numbers, but I believe there will be less groups for leaving the home. There has been a trend the last 10 years has to serve an exercise, the people in a church exercise, every brother who has an interest in divine faith. And that is, in certain areas more than others, the drain away from assemblies gathered with me. Taking up the subject of shepherding, first of all, I'd like to get my information from at least three sources. First of all, the idea of shepherding in picture. Then, the idea of the most classical passage I know of in the book, as the Lord reviewed in Ezekiel 34. And if you finally move into John 21, where you have seen the idea of shepherding by commission, it is the Lord's intent. Now coming to Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, that's the writer, it's shepherding a picture now. They were shepherds. And I'd like to point out that these shepherds are not ordinary shepherds. The high priest commissioned certain men to look after sheep for sacrifice. He wasn't an ordinary man. By the way, there are two men interested in the sheep. First of all, the shepherd, and then the butcher. The men. But these men were not just ordinary shepherds. They recognized the importance attached to the sheep. These were men with priestly hearts. That's the idea. They had connection with the temple service. These were men who had the sacrificial order upon their hearts. These were men who recognized the sanctity and the solemnity and the dignity of raising sheep. Says good Dr. Luke in the 8th verse, these shepherds were abiding. This is a geographical sphere. Brethren, how can any man effectively take on shepherd work if after you reach the up in the northern part? How can any man who is so involved in business, in sexual advancement of his own interest, be effective in looking after the sheep when he's not even in contact with them?
There's one thing you learn from him,
and that is the work of the shepherd in the Eastern country is the most dedicated work that he can get. A shepherd is doing as much as goes about 10 minutes from the river door. And the modern shepherd we learned in the hills of Bethlehem, he doesn't have a little lion or a little bear.
So that's where the shepherd is.
Every day and night, this man has to be alert. And he has to be a man of some kind, if it means to use the younger for the family. You saw them just two little girls, draped up to over there. Moses, on the Mount of Horeb, watching their sheep. As soon as they post up the hammer to take the picture, they didn't do it. By the way, Exodus 3, for Moses, was in fact, and you know, there was one shepherd who was. One sheep was just about to go into a neighbor's field, and those fields, some of them are just about the geographical extent of this was the one. That's too far from the reach. You could just go and get it. And that storm he threw was just 2 inches from that goose nose that he ever had on earth. So no doubt David was a man who in the years of his intended that he developed his skill looking after. It's a tremendous self-sacrificing job. These shepherds are hiding in the field, where they're coming out. They kept watch, and that is the spiritual fear. Vigilant. Be alert. Fully knowledgeable. As to the danger that deceptive people, especially the young brethren and young people today, they face danger that the older generation knew little about it. And a real shepherd has to be at least a leader. You understand the young mind. You know, sometimes the young people feel, well, older brethren don't understand it, but you should. A real shepherd has a real care for the individual. Not only were they abiding, they kept what? But he was the moral spirit. O Brahman, the seal, the moral aspect. It's hard to know. Young people, as well as middle aged, all the sheep came at a dangerous day. From various sources. Now let's move to the, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Here is David. Notice, and I heard it translated in the reading. David kept his father's sheep. They were not his own. Brahman, we have to recognize. You remember what the writer to the Hebrews says? We quoted just a little while ago in relation to Samaritan. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourself to them as those who watch for your souls, as those who must be at hand. Take it from the passage and the whole context of the 11th chapter of the Hebrews that the account is more or less the way how they did it. So they did this in the second. I admit the other applications. It's not necessarily that David account after you live the later and what you have done in a negative way. I think you knew that these shepherds would account for how they shepherded him. That's their default. That's their responsibility.
So here's Peter, and he kept his other's sheep.
Something else. There came a lion and a bear.
No, under the figure of the lion, I think you have the invisible, panic, moving, and energizing, moving. By the way, if you overcome the lion and the bear, and brethren, if you overcome the spiritual principle of temptation and evil, then we have little trouble to be subdued in the last time. First of all, it has to be decided in your mind, in your spirit. And if you determine, like Daniel of old, that I'm going to overcome, that's a secret, and you feel the law, then the action stops. You overcame a lion, you overcame the bear. By the way, the bear, all this speech is a figure, is used of men, all this speech of indulging, speech of complacency, no matter where the figure occurs, except the first chapter of the book of Ezra, where you have under the government of Persia, a God here named by the name of Christ, it doesn't apply there, but nevertheless, here's the line, he's mutilating evil spiritual forces, the heir of the. By the way, you likely have found that men who were successful in tending sheep sometimes failed when they were. Remember David? First Chronicles chapter 21, Satan stood up against Israel and David numbered the sheep. And seeing that the figure of the bear applies to the flesh, indulging complacency, you will recall that Psalm 51 reports that David. In shepherding, lost people, problems, don't have to be very careful. And by the way, it has helped me a number of years ago to find out, because I always have the idea that I wouldn't be scripture my Hebrew system and personality. That's the only word that we pray to that I'm sure that that's not the only word. When I was a young convert, I read, O be then that have the rule over you. I always thought, you know, that these men have an office. They were personal offices. By the way, the word overseer is not found once in the most reliable German translation. By the way, when I moved and confused, I was feeling that I was having the word overseer is never found once. Because you see, if I look at the window, all I see is a blend of all I do. And that's the difference between the conqueror and the overseer. And a man who suffers people who dies, he is not when he is over. And by the way, he is not over anybody, he is among us. And ruled by himself. That's easy. You're good. Then again, in the figure and the symbolic figure of shepherding, Genesis chapter 32, verse 13. Now, says Jacob, I like this expression. You know full well, he says, the whole flock is with me. If I overdrive, let me dwell a little while on the word overdrive. If we overdrive, then the whole flock will die. Right? The idea is, young Christians, especially converts, rather, you have to actually. You remember Paul writing the first season various places how often you need to work long suffering and patience? It took time for development. And sometimes you tend to be too pushy. It takes time. By the way, as spiritual overdriving, Jacob as a shepherd knew that they would have little food or no water. All at Esau's interest is march them forward. By the way, Esau, that restless type. Hardly had you changed business when you wanted to move on again. That's the world for you. You see, a shepherd, a real shepherd will recognize the condition and the tenderness of the land. I don't think, brother, that it's all together out of place. A real Christ-like shepherd will put a dignity not only in the sheep, but also in the unconverted soul of the Christians. Because after all, talking about those born after all, young people that grew up, if they get no recognition, if there's no private attention, if they're really tolerated, or merely, you know, just the acceptance, and if there's no real heart affection that is showered upon them, every winter from the heart of brother and sister, how do we expect them to make the assembly their joint and their spiritual home? There's no
predator.
Then you have an obligation to the unconverted children in a special way, and especially to young people, to provide conditions whereby a local assembly is a place of spiritual.
Don't let them overdrive.
You know, Brahmin Christianity, and I was an outsider. I came into the assembly about 26 years ago, but altogether new to me. To me, it was a great thing, you know, by the grace of God's grace. And a great door was opened to me, the world of the eternal, and I rejoiced in some hopes after many years of searching, trying philosophical pursuit, trying religious pursuit. I found someone that I could agree with, someone that you could share in fellowship with one another. But on the other hand, in the assembly that I was spiritually brought up, they were men and they were good shepherds. They were men with a real care, and you could sense it. And I found that Christianity is not an imposition of laws and regulations. But Christianity is the joyful assimilation of divine things, divine persons. You come into the joy. Well, talking about overdrive, I know there's two sides, overdriving. Sometimes, you know, folks are given responsibility and position and they are not ready for it. What a danger. Quite a number in the Old and New Testament, they were not ready for certain responsibilities and they made a spiritual mess. When the crisis comes, they weren't ready. You've got to be careful too. On the other hand, I firmly believe the reason why he had lost some young men, and you see, if at all you work amongst God's people, each case has to be decided on its own. But some young folks have left us simply because they have been in the assembly for 10, 15 years, and there was a good spiritual development, and no one bothered about giving them a little responsibility. According to each ability of young brethren, we ought to give young brethren responsibilities to make them feel that they're not only wanted, to make them feel there's a work to be accomplished. You know, it hurts you when you put all your work in the evangelistic efforts to see these souls saved. And you rejoice in that, and then you come back, and after 10 years, a young man who's gotten saved tells, you know, that the brother let me wait 10 years. I approached him 3 or 4 times about baptism. He turned me down every time. But they won't even leave him. You lose him. Now, that's the other side of the coin. You have to face it.
Here.
I think, Robin, we under in that city of Toronto were very wise. According to ability, they put us, they cursed us to pray. Me pray? No, we have trouble with the English language. Still haven't overcome this problem, you know. Me pray? Well, we're a 16 young men, just say 4 or 5 years, could pray, and they could pray real, to the extent that warmed your heart. I folded my arms and said, oh, no, I'm not going to do anything of the kind. I don't have to ask you. It's all right to pray in front of the gospel when you have your head buried in the chair. You can't ask them. I should develop and take a little part in public. You know, maybe you've heard that before, but that's the way how I started as a young fellow. I wrote out the most beautiful gospel prayer, gospel of all prayer that you ever laid your eyes on. I still remember that with a kiss. Inserted certain phrases, and I'm sure that the brethren would like all of their own time. And then I waited for a pause, and that pause came, 120 in fellowship, and I got up. The very moment I did, my whole thread was evaporated. I steamed. Now, God can teach in just 2 seconds, young man, what sometimes we don't accomplish in 4 or 5 conferences. And that is, I learned in 2 seconds one of the most important fruit in relation to prayer. And that was, prayer, we don't decry intellectual, intelligent knowledge relating scriptural facts. But just move down about 15 inches. Prayer must first of all come from the heart, not just from the head alone. And so all I did is thank God for His Son and I sat down.
and something very strange happened. Everyone said amen. I didn't think I'd done that good. Now, talking about satanic conflicts, I had a few bouts with the devil, so will you. Thank God for spiritual men, real shepherds, and never handle. One brother made a beeline after the train, and I thought, I'm going to get it now, I'm going to try to see that the back door is coming from. Put his hand on my shoulder. And he says, Fred, were we ever happy to hear tonight? And seeing that the Lord has opened him up, don't let the devil shut him. You know why? Because he recognized that the devil will take the young man and will bring before him only failure. And if you dwell upon your failure, you'll never grow. That doesn't mean you condone sin. What is he, isn't it? Personally, I don't put myself apprehended. I must forget the vicious past, whether possible or not. Look, young man, if you dwell on failure exclusively, on your failures, on the Christian failure, you'll never develop. Good shepherds. You should have listened to my first gospel preacher. The city of Grandport, Ontario. Here, Brother Saunders up in the 80s now. I don't know whether he'd get a sinus headache, but while I got out to preach, that is the way he held his hands. But he got to make a start somehow. And you learn preaching by preaching, praying by praying, here a little, there a little, and thank God for shepherds that recognize our development. And they were not hard on us and harsh because many an unwise move on the part of men cut them off. They'd never open their mouth again. You see, overdriving, you have to consider the young. You have to consider the spiritual development. You know, we have a man up in Northern Ontario. It took him 10 years to see absolute. And it took him another 10 years till he saw the gathering center. 20 years. So says the writer here in relation to overdriving. Well, one has to be careful. A shepherd has to take it into consideration. And I spent too long on these pictures, but let's move to Ezekiel 34. That's a real classic. Ezekiel 34, and by the way, taking up the subject about shepherding, here's how the Lord would do it. Ezekiel chapter 34, just a few verses. By the way, the first 6 verses, Ezekiel gives a denunciation upon selfish shepherds. I wonder whether the state of Israel just prior to the deportation under Nebuchadnezzar, he made an excursion to the so-called Holy Land, was because of what the shepherds were. Selfish, egotistical, self-seeking. And he condemns them. Verse 1 to verse 6. But let's move on to verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. You know, Brother, what verse 11 teaches me is this. That the chief shepherd has a distinct and real care. He makes the difference. And I find that it took the same precious blood to cleanse and to expand to save the mental retard than the academic man. The Savior has a distinct, a real interest in every sheep, every figure, all of you, saved by grace, whether just a few months or many, many years, your precious little isn't it? Exceedingly precious. There's no rank distinction among the saints. I'll come to that in just a little while. Now please, verse 14. I will feed them in a good pasture. That's the desire of the chief shepherd. And brethren, I'm firmly convinced, even a local assembly, there is thrift. And even a local assembly, there is food for us own. There is bound to be a revival. And if in any local gathering, there is no gift to feed God's people, you have the responsibility to get men in the can. Because in our souls, there is a hunger after the face of God. And if in a conference there is sufficient food, and God, people get something for their souls, then, brethren, I'm firmly convinced that the value of the conference is still what it ought to be and should be. Just playing around, you know. But, you know, on the other hand, we've had cases. A man just waited until certain sheep came along, you know, and gave a little 15-minute word after breaking their bread, and all they intended to do is lash out of them. You lost some of them because of that. If there's any difficulty, any problems, a lot better go to the brother or sister face to face when making a public thing.
I will feed them, saith the Lord in verse 14, in good pasture and upon the high mountains. The building up, the call of Jesus and the rest of the apostles, building up, leading people, you know, patience in elevated ground in the East Bank. It's called now the Golan Heights, or at least part of it is Golan Heights. Rather, 400-500 foot high elevation. You can see the whole country, cattle are still grazing in great number, all the way down to Gilead, where Jephthah came from, all the way down almost to the border of Jordan. God's desire, not only to feed them, but to feed them. That's what the Savior said to Peter, didn't he? John 21. Now again, please. Verse 15, I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, rather than conditions of rest. Shepherds are responsible to create and maintain conditions of rest and peace. Sometimes just not. Because he belongs. That's the responsibility of shepherd. Conditions of peace. Conditions of peace. Again. I will seek that which was lost. I will seek that which was lost. All the sheep go their own way. And I know some of them you cannot restore no matter what you try to do. But a real shepherd will have to, according to the Savior's own words, because in the Gospel of John chapter 21, as he talks about shepherding to Peter, the first two words, the question, do you love me, is the agape. That's divine love. So brethren, we have to recognize that when it comes to shepherding, divine love, not necessarily natural physical. And you have to break through natural tendencies. You have to break through natural preferences. You can't afford to go by natural influences. Remember John 3:16, agape, for God so loved the world, that today you were and I. Remember Paul, what he says in the Epistle to the Romans? We glory in tribulation, because the love of agape, the love of Christ, is shed in our, and brought in our hearts. All difficulties, all different circumstances, that the flesh doesn't like, agape, divine love. By the way, you married couples, younger folks, doesn't matter. Paul in Ephesians 5 tells us that the only thing that will keep a marriage together is divine love, not necessarily natural one. Divine love. Not just natural love, it has to be divine love. In many instances, the real shepherd has to break through certain barriers. And you see, you carry this divine love with you, no matter where you are. You carry with it. Alright? So I will seek that which was lost. Oh yes, some go astray. Notice, I will bring that which was, is it possible? That which was driven away. Last winter, I had a one-week meeting in Northern Ontario town. And an elderly couple had me out for supper. And the house was at the edge of the bush, and says to the lady in the house, "Fred, would you like to see something very interesting?" I said, "Certainly, I would like to see something interesting." She says, "My father, my husband, he has the government contract for feeding the deer. And in just about 10 minutes, he's going to feed the deer. You don't know where they come from. You see something interesting." I went down into the clearing. All of us are embarrassed. It's 35 years. You know, I like deer when I see them. The picture of grace. The picture of beauty. The picture of, just lovely to see deer. But I watched them for 5 minutes until I had to change my mind. You know what the place is? Lovely, gracious looking animals. You know what they stand to be? There are 5 of them never could get near the corn. Because, you know, as soon as they came, they got them. They didn't have a chance. I felt like, you know, taking a gun and sorting out the problem. That would have poached it, no? Deer behaving like that? Oh yes, there's manifestation among the cows. There's manifestation among the tender-eyed deer. I will, says the Lord, bring back that which was driven away. Is it possible that by my attitude, someone needs to look at me? Certainly, isn't it? I will bring back. Oh yes, and then some have a fall because the Lord says, I'll bind that back which is broken. Happens to you, know? And all, you know, some folks dwell on this, their sin, and the shame. That's why Paul says, Galatians 6, if you're spiritual, all right, seek to restore such an one. Recognizing you have your own faults and failures, you know there's an endless sin that I couldn't commit apart from the grace of God and I couldn't keep you. A shepherd who seeks to lead God's people will have this recognition. He will never be superior in his attitude. That won't happen to me because of man. And if he has this attitude, according to Galatians 6 and 1, you know, folks will have confidence.
Amen.
4 years ago, a girl fell on the ice and she broke her arm. Curtis was taken to the doctor. The medical attendant was away at the time, so there was an intern there, and he tried to diagnose it as a break. And he took the little girl's elbow here and gave it 4 jerks, up and down, and Curtis accepted. While the girl screamed out with pain. My wife had already diagnosed it as a break, but the doctor wouldn't have a word for it. Well, too bad Freddy Klaus wasn't there. I would have given him a piece of my German mind. You better believe it. That's not the way you go about to, you know, to rock solid and to make it worse. When your child is brought into the fall, suffers in a willful place. Probably shows his or her face around. And just for others to continually dwell in the fault and fail, that is, we don't condone sin. But a real shepherd will seek to bring it back. Will seek to ultimately, that's the objective, restore. That's ultimately the objective. So that's how the Lord is going to do it. And if you and I want to get an example, we are going to start. Ezekiel 34. That's how the Lord will be shepherded now. And look to God, Father, that we will seek to emulate the divine pattern because each sheep is precious in his sight. And know again, if true shepherd care is shown, I believe that God's assemblies are going to prosper.